Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is James Joachim, host of Webcomics Reviews and Interviews. Today we're with Anne Bernard, master of first times. So sit back, relax, and let the Geek Fest begin.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I am indeed the master of first times. It is a self-proclaimed title. I have I've knighted myself with the title of master of first times because what I do with the 365 First Challenge is introduce people the first times and new experiences. So I run an app that when you download the app, you create an account and then you select all the different categories that you want to have first time and new experiences from. So anything from arts first, music first, volunteering first, outdoors first. Yeah, it's 30 different categories. And then after that, you click on swipe. It's a bit like Tinder. You start swiping right if you want to add that first to your list. Up if you're not interested. Up if you've already done it. And then left if you're not interested. And then that creates your list. And I came up with the concept after starting my own journey of first time and new experiences about 7 years ago. And I know one of the things you wanted to talk about today is how first times and new experiences are very key to helping you become more creative. I think that's something you wanted to discuss, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So first times and new experiences. So creativity, I do a bit of writing, but I definitely use a lot of creativity in problem solving. I know the majority of your audience are comic, either creators or lovers, which I think is awesome and fabulous. But for me, my creativity, I express it in very other ways. But what I discovered with having first time and new experiences and the way that creativity works is that the more you feed yourself, your mind, your soul, different experiences and different things, it really helps your creativity because the mind is just amazing and how it makes connections between the different things that you do. Plus, it also really helps for you to be able to detach from what you do. So if you're too focused on what you do, you might get, in my case, like I said, I do a lot of writing, you might get writer's block. But if you step away from what you do and you go do something completely differently, it's just like people actually use, like taking a shower or taking a walk. That's another example of helping fuel your creativity. But when you do something completely different, you shift your focus and then your brain in the background still works on whatever problem you're trying to solve. So whatever creative challenge you're going through, your conscious mind will focus on the new experience that you're doing, but your subconscious mind is still going to work on solving it. And that thing that you're doing that you've never done before might then trigger your subconscious to come up with a solution. So it's fascinating how the mind works and what adding a lot of first time and new experiences into your life then creates all of these different pathways and all these different, they're actually neural pathways in your mind and in your life to start becoming even more creative. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I mean, it's really cool. A lot of people have noticed, myself included, that basically by stepping away from whatever the actual problem is, just like you said, you basically put yourself in an entirely different frame of mind, and that actually helps solve the actual problem you're working with.
Yeah, and it's also great to be able to just turn off our minds. So I did, when my stepmom came out, so I live in Las Vegas, and she came out to help me decorate my house, which was a first for me. I never hung curtains before. So I had to buy a power drill and learn how to use that. And anyways, I hung a bunch of curtains and things on the wall. And I took her out to have a first time while she was here visiting, because if you're going to be around me, I'm going to ask you, what's the first time in your experience? And we'll go do it. So we went to a glass torch class where we made these glass pendants and then these glass wine bottle covers. But what was really great about the experience, because the torch itself goes up to about 3,000 Fahrenheit, so it's super hot. I would say it's dangerous. You can burn yourself. I mean, the instructor is there, but you're holding the glass to the heat, and you really, really have to focus. It's like you can't be distracted. And both myself and my stepmom experienced this great relaxation and this great stress relief from that experience, because we were so focused in that moment and what we were doing. And then afterwards, when I started thinking about different things about the business, I felt so refreshed. Even though it was just an hour of doing that, I had all this refreshed energy from it. So while it's great to step away, if you go do something that you've never done, it will just allow that break to take place and then get that stress relief and just renew you to then reengage in whatever project you're working on.
Yeah, especially it's also really great for those first experiences, because it adds to your level of experience in a lot of other areas as well. So,
absolutely. That's how you learn. And it doesn't. So, you know, some people are like, well, why would I pursue multiple new experiences over first time? Just for the experience, because it's going to teach you something about yourself. It's going to teach you something about whatever you're doing. And then you might never do it again. And that's perfectly fine. It doesn't mean just because you try it, you have to like add it to your life and do it forever. I think there's a weird thing where you mentioned you're a child of the 80s, same here, right? So I was born in 77. And we grew up with our parents telling us, you know, whatever you start, make sure that you finish it and don't be a quitter. And so we felt very restricted that if we started something, one, we had to be successful at it, two, we had to finish it. Well, okay, BS, bull, doesn't have to be that way. You can start something, enjoy it for a little while, and then decide, I'm going to try something else. And it has now been proven, they have done studies, that is actually even more beneficial to be a broader person that has a lot of experience than someone who is, you know, focused and specific into one area. Like even Steve Jobs, the way that he came up with the fonts for the iPhone. Anyways, the different fonts was from taking a calligraphy class, and that triggered him coming up with different fonts. And actually, all the if you do the research, the scientists and the people that have won the highest level of Nobel Prize. Can you help me out? I'm drawing a blank.
What are you trying to describe?
Every year in like each and every category, the
Nobel Prize.
Nobel. God, I apologize. Nobel Prize. So the Nobel Prize winners, they've done the research. And the scientists that are the most published and have the biggest breakthrough all have a variety of hobbies that have absolutely nothing to do with their specific fields.
I mean, even when you start looking at art, you start seeing pretty much the same thing. I mean, you see the most people that have, I'm sorry, the artists that have the most range of talents as far as art, also are able to do a lot of interesting stuff by combining and figuring out solutions based on that wide variety of skills.
Yeah, it's absolutely key. So then the question is, what's holding people back from doing that? And the reason why I started the 365 First Challenge is that I guess one of the things that hold people back is they can't think of what to do. So when I first started this, I didn't have an app, and I would tell people, well, it's all about going out and doing things that you've never done before. And then it would give me a blank look, like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, anything you haven't done before, what's something like, I don't know. I'm not you. What's something you've never done before? And yeah, so that's why I created the app. So that way all you have to do is pick the categories and then look at the options and just say yes or no, whether or not that's something that you want to do. And then just like everything else, once you start seeing some options, it will trigger different things that you've thought about doing, but you've never done. And again, the biggest thing is don't be hung up on wanting that first time to be perfect. There's no such thing. You've never done before. You can't expect to be able to do something you've never done before. Like, people have, the stress and pressure on themselves that's absolutely unnecessary and holds them back. I make a fool out of myself on a regular basis to show to people, like, hey, it is A-okay. Like, have fun with it. Have the experience. And if it's something that you want to do again, you'll get better at it. If it's something that you never want to do again, it's all good. Don't ever do it again. And, because starting to do new things is really going to help you step out of your comfort zone. It's going to help you, like we said, be more creative. It's going to help you become more spontaneous. Some of the things that you want to do, you're going to have to plan them. So, you byproduct is you'll become a better planner. Getting out there, meeting new people, and doing all these new things is going to help you grow your confidence. So there's all these incredible byproducts and benefits to simply doing things that you've never done before.
Geez, biblical verse comes to mind. Always something about come into things like a child.
Oh, you are spot on, my friend, with that one. It is about having that childlike wonder and mindset towards life. And we lose that over time. I think, when we're kids, we're curious and we're all about trying new things. And we, we're constantly asking our parents questions about things. We go out, we explore, we discover. But then, throughout the years, some of it, we get into a negative loop or feedback from our experiences. We might get hurt. We might get disappointed. And these different things happen. And then we start coming into our comfort zones. And we have fears. Some of our fears are not even justified. Like, somebody's going to tell you, hey, I did this and I had a really horrible experience. And because they had a horrible experience, you're like, well, I'm never doing that. Well, you're stopping yourself from experiencing just because of somebody else's experience. It doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way for you or that you're going to handle the situation the same way. But if you return to that childlike wonder and then you feel that excitement about discovering and exploring and you're curious, then that, that makes the fear go away. You're switching your mindset and your view. And absolutely, it is a verse in the Bible. It is how I believe we are intended to live life, is with that childlike wonder.
Definitely. I mean, it's just sort of funny. I mean, when you start looking at the necessity for basically having a wide range of experience definitely helps in a lot of different ways, especially when we start looking at, say, leadership roles or even for our more creative roles.
Well, yeah, I mean, it helps us relate with other people. It gives us really awesome stories to tell. I mean, I'd much rather show up at work on Monday morning and have a story to tell of a new experience of something that I tried, what I learned from it, what the experience was like, then come in on Monday and talk about the latest, you know, movie or TV show or whatever drama in somebody else's life. This is about living and experiencing life, which people are going to gravitate to. They're going to relate with, and they're going to want to be part of that. Like, they will, no kidding, want to hear your stories and then share in that experience, you know, with a new experience with you. I mean, I'm trying to really kick off a movement of people embracing that because of all the beautiful and amazing benefits that you get from that. And if you're in a leadership position, it helps you to have, you know, an open mind. So another great byproduct of doing this is to be more open-minded and having a growth mindset. So being more open-minded allows you to not be so set in your ways, because you understand there are different opinions. There are different ways for people to achieve what they aim to achieve. And because you've been exposed to multiple things and you continue to want to be exposed, then you possess that open mind. And then the growth mindset is understanding that you are not a stagnant being. If your life is stagnant and your growth is stagnant right now, it is by choice. Your mind and you are created to be able to continue to grow, to continue to learn. And the more you grow and you learn, the better you become at it. So imagine the process of learning makes you a better learner. And that's something else as adults that a lot of people stop doing. They stop learning. And I get it, you know, learning can be kind of boring sometimes. But if you're learning something fun, then you're going through the process of learning, you're getting those benefits, and it's fun, and you're furthering your growth mindset of believing that you're the kind of person that can learn and grow. And that opens up so many doors and so many opportunities.
Definitely. Let's talk about the app for just a sec. When it comes to the different kinds of activities, is there any kind of like, what are the general parameters for the activities in the app?
So they really, really, truly vary. So it depends what categories you choose. So let's say you choose the food first. So, it, you know, some of the options on the food first will be all the different type of foods. So whether, you know, you might have option like, have you ever had Thai food, Ethiopian food, you know, Italian food, you know, so it goes through all the different ethnicity of foods, let's say. Or cooking methodology. You know, have you ever used an air fryer? Have you ever used, just went blank. there you go. Or, you know, something along those lines. So on the sports first, you know, the full gamut of all the different sports that are out there. And actually, I just learned this past Saturday, about pickleball. I did not know that was a sport. So the sport of pickleball will get added to the app and I will go try to play pickleball. But it really depends. So in the music first, you have either playing an instrument or going to a wide variety of different concerts. Volunteering first, it's a really great category because not only will you do something you've never done before, you can participate in your community, you can give back. Same with the donation first. You know, whether it's donating blood, donating your hair, donating your time, books, you name it. So yeah, it runs really like the full gamut of what's out there that you could possibly be doing or haven't done before. And you also have the option to go into the categories and then add your own. So as you're swiping, if you don't come across what you want to try, you can add it yourself into the category and then put it on your list.
All right, cool. So it really is basically the Tinder of activities.
Yeah, exactly. And the other beauty or the other thing I tell people, so a new experience will always be a first time. But a first time doesn't need to be a new experience. So the other way to use the app or to look at things is that if you can slice and dice what you're trying to achieve into first times. So let's say you're interested in hiking, but you've never been hiking. And, you know, it's one of those things where the first thought of going hiking is not, I'm going to hike Mount Kilimanjaro, but it might be something that you want to do. So now you have to backtrack and create all the firsts that are going to lead you to your ultimate goal. So the first time you go buy some hiking boots, your first hike, your first overnight hike, your first peak. So you can slice and dice into first times to achieve what you want to do. And what that does is, are you familiar with dopamine, the real feel-good chemical that the brain releases?
Definitely.
Yeah, so then you're probably aware that dopamine is released in the anticipation of accomplishing something. So dopamine is what gets you excited about something that's coming up, and that gets you excited about accomplishing that. So if you slice and dice the things that you're trying to achieve into first times, then you're triggering the dopamine release to keep yourself inspired and motivated to follow through and complete what you want to do. And then obviously afterwards, you get that great sense of accomplishment. You go back to the app, you mark it as complete, you share on social media if you want to, and then you go and focus on the next first that you want to achieve.
How local-based can you make that?
So right now it is very – it's not localized. The app is not designed to track location at the moment. So when I – yeah. So this was my first app release. I learned a lot in the process, and it's not – the app doesn't have all the features that I would have liked to have had in the initial launch. So next time when I find – I'm looking for the money and the right team to recode the app so that it has the ability – it has more features and more abilities, because I think making it location-based in order to be able to complete your
– Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
First, or in order to get data from location near you, is very critical to add that to the app. But yeah, right now it doesn't have it.
Okay. Was just curious.
First off,
I got one more sport to add just because it's a fan favorite, don't it? One more sport to add just because it's actually a fan favorite in some areas is Jugger.
Jugger.
Jugger. J-U-G-G-E-R.
I am not familiar with Jugger.
It's based off a movie called The Blood of Heroes. You're basically trying to get a object from basically one end of the court to the other. But it tends to be a little rough.
Yeah. Well, I will add that to the sports first list. So ever since I've been doing the 365 First Challenge, I've been pursuing a lot more first times in your experiences. As a kid, I kind of stopped playing board games because I was a pretty bad sore loser, like through tantrum sore loser type. And now in adulthood, I'm a little bit more mature. I can handle losing, even though I don't enjoy it. I can handle losing better. But I am loving, so once a month out here in Las Vegas, we have a place. It's called Meepleville, and they have 2,400 games. It's a board game cafe. So once a month, I take the 365 First Challenge meetup group, and we go play a new board game. And I am just absolutely loving doing that. Because board games are such a great reflection of life when you have to think about tactic and strategically and, you know, figure out your opponents, your fellow players. I have air quotes around opponents. I don't see people as opponents, but sometimes, you know, when you're playing a game, that's what they are. And, yeah, it's such a great, and then you learn a lot about yourself. And so I love learning new board games. And I tell you what, I don't know if you like regularly read board game directions, but quite confusing. Even like the easiest of games, you're like, dude, like why did you write it so complicated? And that's another really great thing for your mind if you're not used to reading directions, to expose yourself to reading directions, to learning, because it's something else that is, you know, good to be familiar with and get better at.
Definitely. I mean, we do have the local comic book shop here that's actually started renting games out.
I would go there and play some games or have game nights at home. You know, just the key, though, to get the benefits from it is that it has to be a new game. So there's a lot of people that'll say, you know, I do Sudoku or I play games, you know, to keep my mind fresh. And but it's actually a fallacy. Once your brain knows how to do something, you no longer gain the benefits from doing it. It's the process of learning that reawakens your brain and engages your brain. The brain is all about efficiency. So it wants to learn whatever you're doing as fast as possible to become efficient at it, which is why you have to keep trying something new and doing new things and exposing it to new things to keep having that impact. So definitely for sure, like the 365 First Challenge and the concept of starting a journey of first time and new experiences is something that I talk a lot with baby boomers and, you know, people who need, we all do, but doing first time and new experiences has been proven to help with Alzheimer and to help with, you know, battling dementia. So that's another really great benefit.
Yeah, and of course, when you start doing art, it's basically a great way to do it because there's just no way you can actually really do the same thing every time when it comes down to it.
Correct. Creativity, creative arts do have that. So I had a artist, a painter, come on the 365 First podcast, and she talked about how oil painting and water painting and, you know, the different methodology of just painting are so different and varied. And then obviously whatever she paints, you know, every time it's something new, she has a new experience with it. So it's really great.
So I pretty much do the same thing when I'm doing writing, even if I'm doing genre I'm familiar with, I tend to basically notice I'm doing pretty much a lot of different things every time I do it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, creating characters, you do find yourself with a lot of different characters with a lot of people in your head.
Yeah, the one occupation where you want to listen to the voices in your head.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. The first fiction book, well, the only so far fiction book I wrote, I found it amazing because I would read, you know, to trust your character. They're going to lead you. They're going to tell you the story. And I was like, what are these people? Are they crazy? But then I had the experience myself where the characters told me where they wanted to go, what they wanted to say. And if I get stuck, all I had to do was refer back to what the character wanted to do. And the story just came out that way. I was very fascinated by that process.
So, how do you feel about mixing different things as a first time? Like, for example, with the glasswork you guys did, figuring out different ways to do the glasswork or combining it with other media?
I'm not sure I understand the question, because that was really there. I did not have the ability to definitely add anything else to it for the glass, because it was just such a focus, thing to do. I have this, like, so I went and did archery with my sister and her husband. And then a couple months later, I went and did axe throwing. And it was actually weird how the archery and the axe throwing, while not alike, were in fact similar. So they again required paying the same type of attention, having the same awareness that there was, you know, I was handling a weapon. And I definitely think doing archery improved my axe throwing. And then having done axe throwing, I do want to go back and do knife throwing. And they have like ninja stars and they have like all this other cool stuff. And I think, you know, again, they do build upon themselves, because you're doing that mind body connection and your brain, it's, you know, starts making that mind body connection, and that has some great benefits. And then it's also, you get more comfortable handling weapons. I have 24 years in the Marine Corps, so I'm used to handling guns, but I never had held a bow and arrow, and certainly had never gone around throwing axes. And I was pretty impressed. I ended up mastering in an hour the three different throws, and the underhand throwing an axe is not the easiest thing in the world.
Nah, it doesn't sound like it would be.
It's a lot of fun though.
Yeah.
They do bounce back at you. They do. I'm not gonna lie. If they don't go in the target, they can bounce back at you and get you.
Yeah, I've seen the videos.
Yeah.
So, about how often would you have to do something before it stops being beneficial, do you figure?
That is a really good question. I'm still working on that. So I had talked to a neuroscientist because I wanted to start doing brain scans of my brain, as obviously I'm progressing to do all of these new things, to see how it's lighting up, you know, so I say, you know, I do neuroplasticity, you know, I'm rewiring my brain. So I was hoping to start doing some scannings, and he didn't think that was necessary or that I would get what I thought I would out of that. So I haven't given up though, finding someone who'd be willing to do that for me. So far, I would say, because I do something new once a week, I think I definitely, you know, keep those benefits fresh. So tonight I am going to go do a pole fitness class. So that should be interesting. I've never done anything like that before. It's a good question. I'll let you know if I ever crack that nut.
I mean, I know there's like the 10,000 hour rule, but that's for like if you want to actually master it, not if you just simply want to get the basics of it. So,
correct. And I mean, I have become a much faster learner. Like, there's no doubt that if I would not hesitate to say, if you put me next to somebody who does not try out new things all the time, it will take them longer to figure things out than to master things, because my brain is trained to learn. So it's open to it. It's ready to do it. And I think it does do it in a much faster capacity because of that. And I can say that my memory has also improved since I've been very focused on trying and doing new things. So I'm all about enjoying those benefits.
That does make a certain degree of sense. I mean, the more you tend to master different skills, backing up half a step, keeping in mind people basically look for patterns and things. The more skills you learn, the more able you are able to link into the pattern between the two different skills and figure out the commonalities, and therefore base it off that commonality feature.
Exactly. It's same thing, and it's same thing with adaptation, right? So the more that you expose yourself, so one of the things, it goes back to that feeling of, if you feel uncomfortable, then that's hindering your ability to do whatever that you're doing. So if you're constantly if you've paced yourself in a constant state of being uncomfortable, then uncomfortable becomes very comfortable. So you're much faster at adapting. And it goes back to, your brain is making all those connections, and it's finding familiarity in pretty much everything because it has been exposed to so many things.
Yeah. We see the same thing when we start looking at art, because a lot of people start doing drawing figures, for example, in different media, and because they know how to basically draw a figure, they're able to fill in the blanks with a lot of different other media, like with paints or with charcoal, for example.
Right. And so with the knowledge that that's going to happen, like if it is something you're interested in, but you're not necessarily good at it right off the bat, don't quit. Like, that your brain will make those connections, and I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it will happen to where it will become easier at some point. So the one thing where I'm really going to quote unquote test myself is I want to learn to play the guitar and the piano at the same time. And the reason why I'm doing them at the same time, it goes back to testing the theory of the more you learn, the faster you learn. And I have never played any musical instrument. I have zero exposure to music. So I can't even say like I have an ear for it. Granted, I have in the past year purposely, like I listen to all kinds of music. And I don't mean all kinds of American music, all languages. One, because it's good if you do want to learn another language. Two, to just try and see if that's a good first step to getting familiar with the unfamiliar. So I might not understand the words, but then the notes and the melodies, I can pick those out. And we'll see how that plays out as I go forth and learn two instruments. Yeah, I mean, so another thing, you know, I have considered myself be – you know, the mad scientist and the guinea pig. I actually have a t-shirt, and it's a guinea pig that's on it, and it says takes one to know one, hashtag 365 first challenge, because that is how I view myself and I view life. You should be, you know, make yourself a guinea pig and then test out theories, you know, find out if this, you know, what we have just discussed on the show, is this true? Well, the only way you're going to find out is if you test it out and have fun with it.
Definitely. I mean, being an artist, you have to have a lot of different hats you have to wear at any given time. So it's sort of interesting to see how they cross over sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're starting to see that a little bit yourself, because I'm willing to bet when you start, part of doing the 365 is you figured out that sometimes some of them are a little bit more interesting to people than others.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also about facing. So when it comes to art, again, other than writing, I have never as a kid considered myself artistic or had inclination towards, say, like drawing, painting, or create like crafts, or doing any sort of work with my hands that was artistic. And I think I had like different self-limitation beliefs around that. And just like music, it's the one thing too with art that, you know, I want to break down, which is why a lot of my first time are artistic in nature, because it's not my background. So when it comes to sports, yeah, I can pretty much play any sport. Sports being outdoors, you know, that's been my thing. So I'm very familiar with it. I'm comfortable with it. Learning a new sport, no problem. Music, arts, games, you know, those things I haven't been inclined to them. So now, as an adult, well, I am pursuing them all and learning from them and truly enjoying it. Yeah, I mean, I had the most incredible shared first time. I took my 89-year-old neighbor out to have sushi for the first time. And I tell you what, being able to introduce someone who's had such a long life, and she, it's not like she had a sheltered life. She definitely did a lot in her lifetime, but she had never had sushi, and she was very open-minded. So when she said her birthday was coming up, and I said, well, I would like to take you out to dinner, and we got to, she never had sushi before, and I invited her, and she was all about it. And it was just such a blast to do that. And I really enjoyed, you know, running the 365 First Challenge meetup group here in Las Vegas, because I do get to see and experience first times with people, and people's faces just light up. I mean, like I said, when I went and did archery, it was with my sister and her husband, and her husband was just so happy about it. You know, and then I'm thinking, okay, you're getting that dopamine release, and you know, he was just really, really happy. And it kicks in, like doing something you've never done before. To me, you know, that's how you kick, you know, get rid of boredom, help if you're, and I suffered from depression. I have been suicidal. I absolutely know what that's like. And you have to break out of whatever the mindset that you're caught up in. And it can be so incredible, challenging to break out of that. But you go do something you've never done before, it's such a great trigger to break you out of whatever you're going through and to set you up in a, you know, in a better mood. And I have absolutely seen it in everyone that I have taken to go do something they've never done with.
That actually sounds pretty, again, it relates back obviously to artists, because we tend to deal with a lot of negative emotion all the time.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? We're, you know, very critical. We beat ourselves up, you know, and there's no, it's much better to just take a break and then go do something you've never done before and get the benefits from that than beating yourself up. So if you can get in the routine and the habit of doing things you've never done before, it will change your life. It changed mine. And that, I mean, that's why I created the app. That's why I'm doing this, because I know that once people discover it and do it, it will impact their lives like it did mine.
So, all right. Anything else we didn't cover? Cause I know we covered a lot. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, we sure did cover a lot. No, I think we ran the full gamut. You great questions. I appreciate it. If people want to find out more, it's very easy. Just www.365firstchallenge.com, or if you do hashtag 365firstchallenge in the App Store or the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, you can find the app and download that. I do the 365 First podcast, where every week I have an expert advice for your first time series. I have different experts that come in to help you out. If there's a first time you are thinking of doing, but you don't know how to get started, let me know. I'll find an expert. I'll do a show about it. So I am so here to support, encourage, inspire, you know, anything that you need to start your journey. You know, I'm here for you.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. That's something that a lot of people will be looking out for now.
I hope so. I want to test my theories. So I would love some feedback. You know, how many first time does it take to get hooked on it, you know, to want more? And how many first times, like you said, does it take for you to see the value and the benefits? And so I'm a psychology major, so I have different, I love data and information. So any feedback that I get is useful and welcome.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
That was Anne Bernard of 365firstchallenge.com. 365, F-I-R-S-T-S-C-H-A-L-L-E-N-G-E.com. For those interested in supporting this podcast, please check us out over at patreon.com/twosparrows. We have mini casts, a few extra tips and tricks here and there, an edited version of interviews that include all the swearing as well as a little bit longer, as well as an actual episode of this podcast that has yet to be aired anywhere else. Also check us out over at YouTube, where we have curated playlists where all the various podcasts have been broken down into various different types of sections, such as world building, business, marketing, writing, etc., as well as additional mini casts, as well as the Alexa briefs. And definitely check us out over on Facebook. This allows you not only to comment on the various videos, but also catch up on a few other things as well.